Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Rue.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
I like how we're doing like rock sounds. We're playing drums. Both of us are playing drums. There are two drums going at the same time.
That was me singing.
That was a beautiful song.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 66.
This week in music history, ELO and FYC have big DAYs.
Who charted? Soundtracks did.
On Rue's 62nd tip of the week, crowdfunding.
And the song for this week is from Nothing More.
And for the roundtable, Google Plus, Pinterest, and Wikipedia. Other places to go online. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We are India-less.
Yes, India is away this week.
There is no India.
So we are one less.
One less.
And
we should
have brought
in a guest. Just a random guest.
We should bring a girl. We have people downstairs that are from another company. We should have brought one of them.
They could have come up and been very confused.
Oh, wow.
Let's go for it. This Week in Music History, where we talk about things that happened in this particular week in the past.
Yes. I was very quite fascinated with that. So, all right, all you lovely people, we are going to take a look at April 10th, 1999. TLC, the lovely girl group, started a four-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with No Scrubs.
So no Scrubs. You're going to say
don't want no scrubs. Scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. And sitting on the passenger side of his best friend's ride. Tried to holler at me. Okay, I'm done.
That was good. That was yours. I'll let you have this one. April 11th, 1994, Oasis released their first single, Supersonic, which peaked at number 31 on the UK charts. However, over time, it has amassed sales of over $215,000 units. Making it their 13th biggest selling single ever. It was also their first single to chart in the US, where it peaked at number 11 on a modern rock tracks chart.
Well, that's exciting.
It is.
Imagine, I just thought that was fascinating because it was Oasis's first single, April 11th, 1994.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. April 12th, 1933. This is for you.
Yay!
Born on this day, Tiny Tim.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
A person who I have no familiarity with other than Rue saying he's a guy. He had a 1968 US number 17 single with
Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
He died of a heart attack, Rue, on November 29th, 1996, on stage. Oh my god.
While playing Tiptoe, just finished playing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Yeah.
Yeah. He was singing that?
Yeah.
Aww,
yeah, well, basically what he was known for. He was also on late night TV a lot, very well known for that. Had a wedding that was, it was crazy. It was like what a royal wedding would be like today for
like a
popularity.
Kim Kardashian wedding.
People just going crazy over Tiny Tim's wedding. And also had thousands of songs in his head. Like, he had folk songs that had been forgotten just because he had memorized all these songs, and most of them died with him. So
a
whole bunch of songs that we may never hear again were in that very tall person's head.
Oh, Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim, the tall singer with the ukulele. April 13th, 2009, Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale was the most played song in public places in the past 75 years. Such a weird fact, but there you go. According to a chart compiled for BBC Radio 2, Bohemian Rhapsody was number two, followed by All I Have to Do Is Dream by the Everly Brothers. All I have to do is dream. I'm trying to remember Whiter Shade of Pale because I know the song. That's right. Wet, Wet, Wet's hit Love Is All Around.
Sure.
And number five, Everything I Do. Do it for you. Brian Adams, a little Canadian content there.
So these are all songs that were the most played song in public places in the last 75 years. So that's compiled by
BBC.
A chart compiled for BBC Radio 2.
It's weird that the Beatles weren't on there.
So in the UK. CanCon.
They don't care about the Beatles in the UK. Mm-hmm. You can hear that right here on Radio Dale.
April 14th, 1975, after rumors that Jimmy Page, Steve Marriott, Jeff Beck, and Chris Spedding variously would replace Mick Taylor as guitarist in the Rolling Stones, a press release confirmed that Ron Wood would be joining the band for their forthcoming American tour, and he's never left.
He's never left. They've tried.
That was 1975.
Ron Wood, would you leave already? He just gets confused. He thinks they're doubling his name. April 15th. Oh boy, 1989. This one excites me so much. The Fun Young Cannibals, FYC, went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with
"She Drives Me Crazy."
Oh, I love this album so much. This album had so many awesome songs. Had good.
Is it the one that had the Elvis cover? The duh.
It was. Yeah. No, that's UB40.
Oh, shit. Fun Young Cannibals,
though, did Don't Look Back.
How did I just mix up UB40 and Fun Young Cannibals?
Because they were both popular around the same time. Fun Young Cannibals is members of English Beat.
But how did I mess that? Do they not have...
I think they did a... they might have done an Elvis cover. You, no. The listeners at home.
But you're... But anyway. Whatever. April 16th, 1972, the Electric Light Orchestra, or ELO, made their debut at the Fox and Greyhound in Croydon, London. ELO were formed to accommodate former Move members Roy Wood and Jeff Lynne's desire to create modern rock and pop songs with classical overtones, which very they
cool.
definitely achieved.
Jeff Lynne's very cool.
Wood departed following the band's debut record. Lynne wrote and arranged all of the group's original compositions and produced every album, and they are one inch tall. You know, you always say to bands or musicians, sound original.
Yeah,
there's one band that is very original, designed a sound.
three quick things off the top of my head. What other band was Jeff Lynne in?
Don't know.
The Traveling Wilburys, along with Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, and George Harrison. Jeff Lynne had a song called Every Little Thing. It was a single.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that actually being played on, like, video hits, CBC television video hits. So, like, people would see Janet Jackson and then a Jeff Lynne song.
Okay.
And ELO, they had a song called Eye in the Sky. I was once at an all-night dance party. And
Brave.
that was the song they closed off the night with. So after all this techno, trance kind of music, everything went quiet and they played an ELO song to close off.
I would have... Oh, wow.
It was very cool. And it was out in the woods, too, so it was like the sun was coming up.
Kind of wavy.
Amber, that's a story for another podcast. But it's time for more important information. For instance, who charted,
Who Amber? Charted? Who charted? And it's a time where we take a look at charts, whether they are, or music charts, whether they're Canadian, American, French, or what have you.
Botswanian.
Across all genres, again, across all types of mediums. So today I grabbed the soundtracks chart
very
off
cool.
of Billboard. And the reason I did that is because the number one album in Canada right now is the soundtrack for Frozen.
Let it go! So, let it go!
Thank you. So it has been number one for...
ever.
A long time now. So I thought, you know what? Let's take a look at the top 10 soundtracks right now.
Cool.
And number 10, The Great Gatsby, music from the movie.
Baz Luhrmann.
Thank you. Baz Luhrmann's film. Number 9, The Walking Dead, the original soundtrack, volume 2.
Mm.
They have really good songs in The Walking
Mountain
Dead.
Mountain Goats yeah. was on one recently.
Number 8, Pitch Perfect, which that movie came out a long time
yeah.
ago. Interesting. Number 7, God's Not Dead. That's a new movie that's either not yeah. out or it's out.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Number 6, Inside Llewyn Davis.
I want to see that one. Is Ethan Coen, the Coen brothers.
Number 5, Muppets Most Wanted.
There you go.
Some hits on there. Number 4, American Hustle.
Makes sense if it's songs from...
It's got like Led Zeppelin,
yeah.
every song from the 70s. Number 3, Glee, the music, celebrating 100 episodes. Yeah. Number two, Divergent.
They have a lot. I think Ellie Goulding's on that.
That's probably up there with what the Hunger Games soundtrack is like. And number one, Frozen.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No, it's spring. So there you go. Those are the top soundtracks according to Billboard. And obviously those are based on sales. But I guess hopefully we'll see a band or an artist, a Canadian artist, take that number one spot on the Canadian albums chart.
Yes.
Next week.
One day. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. And that's it for Who Charted.
Who Charted? So I'm going to do a 60-second tip of the week. Last week I went over 60 seconds.
That's okay.
I should call it the hopeful 60-second tip of the week. I have a feeling this one's going to go long too, because there's a lot of information, but I'm just going to go for it. And the 60-second tip of the week for this week is about crowdfunding. Now, with Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Pledge Music, and GoFundMe, there are lots of ways to earn money with crowdfunding, but a lot of these crowdfunding attempts fail. And here are some tips to avoid that. Number one, you need a crowd. Don't mistake the whole community of these sites as your crowd. The crowd is your fans. And it starts with them, so you need a lot of dedicated fans for success. Number two, you need a plan. Run the numbers on your incentives like CDs or shirts or hats or whatever. See how much those are going to cost. Think of everything, taxes, shipping these to fans. What happens if all your fans end up being in New Zealand? That's going to cost a lot more. The site has its own fees. Schedule time to make sure you can fulfill the rewards, because it takes longer than you think. And number three, keep the story going. You want to keep information. You want people to know that stuff is happening. Posting and waiting doesn't work. So offer updates, videos, snippets of songs, and more to people so that they can know what they're pledging for and also tell their friends about it. So they are called campaigns because they take time, effort, and money. So be prepared.
Interesting.
And as a side note, I know of a recent campaign that was very, 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 very successful. And it ended up costing the people who ran it over $20,000 on top of what they got with the pledge. So they made no money. They lost $20,000 because they did not account for shipping. Like, they accounted for shipping, but they didn't think all of our fans might be overseas. So suddenly shipping wasn't $5. It was like $30.
You know, that's something I never would have taken into account.
Yeah.
If someone said, hey, can you make me a crowdfunding account? I would have been like, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's sort of an easy thing to do, but there's a lot of actually pretty good articles online that say, like, think about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, a summary of a lot of those points.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that will go even into more detail, like, about how you should look at how many fans you have and actually estimate how many would be willing to pay money before you even think of going for one of these things.
Right.
And I'm going to use a swear in a second, but if you want to see some bad approaches, there's a subreddit now called Shitty Kickstarters.
Really? Oh.
And it's actually very informative to go see what people are doing. In some cases, it's what their product or what they're asking the money for is the problem. In other cases, it's how they're going about doing it. So mm-hmm. it's a good idea to scan that and maybe just focus on the music-based ones and think, okay, that did not work.
Right. Interesting.
Yep.
Wow.
So I think it's time to play a bit of a song.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes, and
we've had a lot of really soft songs recently, so I assume we're doing the same.
Yeah, we've had a lot of country, a lot of sort of modern rock, songs, folk. Yeah. But this week we have released a single from a band that will kick you in the face.
Yes.
So this is a band that we were introduced to not too long ago by a label out of the States called 117 Music. And they're a pretty cool label. And the band that we're working with now is called Nothing More. And the song that we'll be playing for you in a couple of seconds is called This Is The Time Ballast. And it's already charting in the top 20 on the U.S. radio rock charts. And they were actually just announced to play the Download Festival in the U.K. They're touring with Chevelle in the States right now, and they're doing a ton of summer festivals in the States this summer. So, Nothing More is a band that if you're into things like, Chevelle, obviously, Bring Me the Horizon, and like The Pretty Reckless, or anything like that, Avenged Sevenfold, you want to check these guys out. So, pretty much, I'm just going to get the song going. So,
yes.
It's Nothing More with This Is The Time Ballast. This is the time that we make it. roll.
And we're back. And Amber was... I don't know why I did it that way.
And we're back.
Amber was half right. I just have to clarify this because did stumble over it a little bit. Fine Young Cannibals did do an Elvis song. And I remembered it, but I could not remember which one. It was Suspicious Minds.
We can't go on together. Suspicious minds.
So that's what happens when India isn't here. We sing more.
Well, the Nothing More song was playing out. Yeah. And I'm putting quotations. I was singing Nothing More, and then I was singing Fine Young Cannibals.
Cool. I don't know whether I should put that at the end or the beginning of the episode so that people don't miss out on
You may have already heard me singing. Yes. Who knows? Depends on who edits this episode. All right, round table. Two of us.
All two of us are the flat back and forth regular table. Today we're going to be talking about...
It's a square table.
A square table.
It's not round because there's only two people. Anyway.
Anyways, we wanted to touch on something interesting in that we... Something Pinteresting.
Mm.
Plus, we had some other... it's me working things in. We were thinking about how Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, those are sort of the three main places that artists go to talk with their fans and spread stuff. But there, of course, are other sites to use. Now, we're not going to look at Reverb Nation, Sonic Bids, all that kind of stuff.
And I think we've touched on them quite a bit anyway.
We've looked at them before. So we thought we would look at three other sites, at least here, that people may overlook or may not think about. And those are Google Plus, Pinterest, and Wikipedia.
And when we say people, we mean...
Artists, musicians.
Yeah, and how you can use these...
To promote yourself.
Yeah, because they sometimes come across as not for musicians.
Yeah.
But we are here to squash that.
We'll squash that. For instance, Google Plus, a lot of people look at it and they think it looks like a ghost town, even though it is, I believe, the second largest network right now. It's even bigger than Twitter. With Wikipedia, people will look at it and think, well, that's just an encyclopedia, so I don't see how I could use that to talk about myself. And Pinterest has its own interesting issues. In one case, some people say, well, that is so female-centric. So if my music is not targeted at women, Pinterest may not be of use.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to squash a lot of these thoughts.
Yes.
So first off, I guess we could start off by saying social media and the online world is a great way to have fans discover you and also to interact with them. And that's why Facebook has taken off so much with artists, so that you can have a Facebook page and talk to people, or Twitter, where you can do regular updates and let people know what's going on. But a lot of sites get ignored. So first off, I'm going to mention Google Plus. And I've already done a blog about this, actually, about a year ago. So a lot of this is going to be talking about stuff from that, because it really hasn't changed. But one of the main things to think about with Google Plus, even now, even after I said it's the second biggest social network, is that it is still kind of the Wild West. It's kind of a place where a lot of artists have yet to go in and see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
So being the first anywhere is always a good idea. If you're an artist who can go into Google Plus and find interesting ways to reach your fans through it, you may be the only one doing that. That might have more people find you. One way I sort of look at it is, if you know there's a place with plenty of land that you can use, why wouldn't you want to go there and use it?
Mm-hmm.
Google Plus also makes it easier to find fans, because on Facebook it's so based around your friends and then hoping that your friends will talk about you so other people find you. Google Plus works a lot like Google itself. There's searching that goes on. So you can seek out music fans and add them to your circles. And circles are kind of like friending someone. Only instead of saying, I will be your friend and now it's a one-on-one relationship, I could find a music fan and add them to my music circle. And that way, when I post stuff about music, it only goes to people I've added to that circle.
Mm-hmm.
It also organizes them, so I know if I want to talk to a bunch of people about music, I just go to my music circle and there's my list. It's almost like a mailing list as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's very much a place about engagement. So where Facebook, you post and hope people will talk, Google Plus is a lot more about going out and finding people to talk to. And they have communities where you'll have an indie music community, or you'll have a rock community or a trance community. There are many of those, big and small, and it's more about going out and finding people than having people come to you.
Okay. Yeah. Question.
Yes.
With these communities, are they predominantly other musicians or people within like the music world, or is it music fans?
They're both. You'll have places where musicians are talking to each other for ideas. Then you have where fans are sharing music that they've found.
So it can be both ways.
It can be both ways. Yeah. So you can find really cool tips from people. A lot of people will use Google Plus as a blog, essentially. So instead of a Facebook status post, which would be the equivalent, when they post a post on their own Google Plus account, it's actually more like a full blog, and people will share that. Another thing that should be kept in mind is Google Plus is Google. What do I mean by that? Google is the search engine that everybody uses to find stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's pretty easy to figure that if you do a lot of stuff on Google Plus, you'll be easier to find on Google. Just like they say YouTube is the second biggest search engine in the world, it's also a part of Google. So if you want to get attention on Google, post videos on YouTube. If you want to get have people find you as an artist, post things on Google Plus. People are going to be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
If you search for a band on Facebook, you might be able to find their Facebook page as a link in a Google search, but you won't be able to find any of the content. In this case, everything you post on your Google Plus page is searchable on Google. So it makes you much easier to find if somebody's looking for your kind of music. And finally, they have a really neat element called Hangouts, which is kind of like Ustream or Kite or any of those sites where live stream, where you can actually communicate directly to people with a video that is streaming live. Hangouts let you do this, but it works within Google Plus and it lets you actually communicate with the individual fans. So you could put on a concert for your fans specifically. You could have a VIP concert where it's only open to VIP members of your page. There's a lot of really cool things you can do. You just have to dive in and test it out. But what I highly suggest is you go set up a page for your band. You look around for other musicians, look at what they're doing and look at what the other music communities are doing and just start posting.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good way to reach new fans and make it easier for fans to find you.
So is it more engagement through text? I don't know is a better way. It's not so much visual as Instagram. Is it more content as in like you're sharing your music or your ideas, your thoughts? Obviously the streaming or the hangouts is maybe different, but is it less more focused on visual, more just on conversation?
It works both ways because remember, since YouTube is also a Google product, videos work really well in Google Plus.
Okay.
Sharing from SoundCloud is really easy on it.
Mm-hmm.
Making posts with an image at the top is really easy. Basically, the same things you can do on Facebook, you can do on Google Plus. It's just a bit easier to set up and a bit easier to find fans on Google Plus.
So if you have a Facebook and a Twitter, then I would recommend having a Google Plus at the same time.
I'd recommend it, especially if you enjoy using those other two.
Cool.
And it still comes back to the same thing I've said before. If you don't like using Twitter, don't go on Twitter. Get a fan base or a fan group to do it for you.
Yeah.
If you like using all this stuff, give Google Plus a shot because it may be where you find most of your fans.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's Google Plus, one of the places you may not think about. Now, Amber, do you have a place one may not think about as an artist?
Yes, I wanted to dive in and take a look at Pinterest.
Because
Pinterest is actually a website that I use on a personal level, not being a musician. I use it for mainly recipes and planning my wedding.
Yay!
So I really just sat down and took a look and thought about, you know, ways in which a musician can really benefit from it. Did some research, took a look at what some musicians have been doing. The one thing you need to think about with Pinterest is that it's visual. So hence why I was asking what I was asking about Google Plus.
Yeah.
Pinterest is purely visual. If you're not aware of how it works, a quick idea is it's basically like a pin board. It's a board
where
you cut out a picture out of a magazine of a kitchen design you like. So you have a board on your wall and you just pin it and go, that's my inspiration for designing my new kitchen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So hence when I'm planning my wedding, I'm picking out, you know, different design ideas for the wedding. Or food, I'm picking out different recipes based around, and I'll have a Thai food board. mm-hmm. or chicken dishes board. And it helps you organize your thoughts, but all the while, you're sharing it with people. So they're your friends, but it can see it, but it also goes public. Mm-hmm. So anything you post onto Pinterest is shared everywhere. So if one person picks it up and sees it, because I can look up recipes, and I can just see a full list of things that are getting pinned at that moment. Mm-hmm. So I can repin it onto my board, and that's essentially how it works. You can add your own original pins, whether that be a website you're totally into, an article you read, a funny picture of a dog. Mm-hmm. You can totally link to those yourself or share other pins people have done. And it's just like a chain letter, kind of. It's just a chain reaction. And I get notifications all day, like, some random person repinned 4 of your pins. So that's why I think it's so important to get some of your original content on there. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't directly put music onto Pinterest. And Pinterest is something that you don't want to be beating people over the head with when it comes to selling yourself.
Yeah.
This is just another avenue as a musician or an artist or what have you to share your personality and open the door just a little bit more to yourself. So I wrote down, what can you do on Pinterest? So different mm-hmm. ideas. Like I said, I have recipes and wedding planning, but obviously you're probably not going to want that. Depending on the type of artist you are, you can have a tab about your dream studio because mm-hmm. you want to build a studio in your basement one day. You can have a tab with all of your favorite song lyrics because you can pull things off of the internet mm-hmm. for those. A thing of just your inspiration. So whether it's like your favorite musicians or your favorite instruments or mm-hmm. whatever. You can have a tab that's just purely memes. Nice. And the definition of memes are...
They're like a virus.
Yeah. They're just, pictures with funny quotes on them, whether they're music related or not.
Yeah.
You can share videos. So you can link to videos on there. So if you put up original content, like an acoustic version or you do a cover or whatever, you can put that on there. And the good thing, too, is that while you're doing this is also it shows up in Google because it's public.
Yeah.
So much like you were saying for Google Plus, this is one more thing that's going to show up when I Google band name.
Yeah.
You'll pop up. You can also link this through other social media sites. So like it's linked to Twitter and Facebook. The app makes it really easy to kind of navigate through those.
Cool.
Where if you're just kind of using it on your computer, I don't think it's as easy. I like using the app more than using it on the actual computer. And so, like I said, Pinterest is always about linking back. It's always taking you somewhere. So it's not like Facebook or Twitter, you're putting up stuff. You can link or you don't have to link. But you're putting up content, whether mm-hmm. it's just a photo of you. But when you put up you can choose the photo that's going to represent where it links to. So you can put up a photo of you as a musician, and it can be your press shot, or it could be a funny photo of you backstage.
Yeah.
But there's room for text at the bottom. It can say, check out our tour dates. So I see that funny picture, it catches my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I click on it. But it links me back to your website.
Cool.
So always make sure that if you're a musician and you're going to try and use Pinterest, know that it's going to link back, and you need to make sure that it's consistent throughout when you're doing that.
Yeah.
Because your goal is to keep the attention on you and not essentially draw attention away from you.
Yeah.
I'll use an example of an artist in just one second. But one thing to keep in mind is that Pinterest has a predominantly female user base. So knowing that, if you have an audience that may be male dominated, or you don't think that you'll have any use for this, don't do it.
Yeah.
This is kind of just one of those bonus things where if you have the time and you have the interest, then do it. But if you don't do it because it's just not going to work out for you. So I know without trying to, be stereotypical or try and categorize women, but think of what they'd be interested in. We're interested in comedy. I'm a girl, so I'm just saying that. Like, if I were to see a musician, I'd want to see funny stuff. So things that aren't directly attached to your music.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just funny quotes, funny pictures, the memes, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if you post up, I'm making this recipe tonight. I think that's cool. Because I'd love to know what an artist I'm into is doing,
mm-hmm.
whether it's personal or not. But then, like I said, I made the suggestions of the other boards that you can make that kind of tie into your musicianship, and that is, you know, you can do one around you in the studio and put up a pin. This is the guitar I'm using. Check out an article about it online. Mm-hmm. Here's the producer we're working with. Check him out online. Here's the actual studio we're in, and you can pin to where it's located.
Yeah.
So it's a really interactive way of communicating with your fans, and Pinterest is just so massive right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've kind of driven that point home. The one really quick example I want to use is Roseanne Cash. And she actually, for each song on her new album, she had, I think I've mentioned this in a previous podcast, she had a different pin or a different board for each song. So you would click on, and I forget one, the name of the song, but you click on it and it brings up, and she has the story at the top saying, I wrote this song because of the following reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll put up a childhood photo of her. And if it has something, it has something to do with the song. There's a connection, obviously. So this is me and my father on the swing I was singing about. Mm-hmm. And then this is, and then a photo of the guitar that was used on the song. And then there's a photo of where it was recorded. Like all these different pieces of how this song came together, but it was done with pins.
That's really cool.
The other thing she did as well, because she mentions places so much in the song, in the songs throughout the album, and she has like this weird obsession with maps,
mm-hmm.
she mapped all the different places. So you clicked on it and it's like the map, the, I don't know if I have the actual name of what, a place map. And basically you click on it and each song, it shows where the place is that was mentioned.
Oh, very cool.
And it's a map with like pins on it.
Cool.
Like little drops or whatever. So, I mean, if you're creative and you have the time, it's not hard at all and it can get addicting. And, you know, it's just, it's super easy to use. And I think it's just something that is really important.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And it's nice and visual. It's easy to use. You literally, if you're on your computer, you get a website and there's a button that says pin it. And you choose the picture from a little, the page changes and shows you which pictures you can choose.
More and more websites have that. The pin button. There's so many things. I've put up, like the things that I see the most repins are things that I've put up, because sometimes you'll see a lot of the same pins go around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from repinning, where I put up a recipe or like wedding invitations, and they are constantly getting repinned because I found them on a really random website that wasn't even a Pinterest-supported type thing. And I put them up, and people see them. Yep. So if you're putting up your original content on there,
people will see it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Pinterest.
They don't have to be friends with you on Facebook or friends with someone on your Facebook. They can have zero connection to you, and they will see it.
Still see the pin, yeah.
So
there you go. A lot of openness I see we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, probably the most open, and this one's just quick, but something that some people think about, some people do not, is Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia is an encyclopedia, but you can have famous people, you have bands, you have writers, and a lot of searches that you'll do online will often end with a Wikipedia as one of the options, and artists want to have their Wikipedia, their name up on Wikipedia as something people can find. Now, there are some rules about this. So if you are looking to do a Wikipedia page for your band, keep these in mind, because with our experience trying to help artists get Wikipedia pages, we've run into these problems, and these are very important. Number one, if you want to have a Wikipedia page, the page has to be neutral. It has to be written in a neutral point of view.
Right.
You can't say, I'm the greatest band that ever lived, or whatever. It's got to be neutral. Boring, like an encyclopedia entry. Number two, information must be verifiable. So anything you say on the page, you have to have a link to prove it. You can't just go on and say, Band X played 300 songs in 2013, if that's not written somewhere. That could be a blog or anything like that, a newspaper or with an online version.
Mm-hmm.
Another element of this is it has to be a reliable source. So I can't write on my personal blog, Ru's music is the best, and then go link it on Wikipedia as, oh, this person said. It has to be a reliable source. So you have to cite it.
So I can't just create like so-and-so's band did really well. And they're like, this is the first post you've ever made.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the problem comes. It has to be something that is certifiable somewhere else, verifiable, and is reliable. And finally, and this is the one that gets the most people, your band or music has to be notable.
Notable. What does notable mean? Notable what defines means, notable in this situation?
In this situation, it means that it is subjective, but it does mean there has to be some kind of importance attached to your music. Some examples. You have newspaper or magazine articles about you. That's notable because someone took the time to write about you. Maybe a magazine wrote about an international tour or a national tour in another country kind of a thing where it's like you did this full tour of just Germany. Having a single or album on a national chart. That's notable. Being prominent in a particular style of music. Say you are the electro swing genius. Maybe you don't have radio play, maybe you don't tour, but people cite you elsewhere on reliable sources as the person who got electro swing going. That's notable. Winning an award, winning a major music competition, if your music was featured in a TV show or movie, placed on rotation on major radio or TV network, if you've been featured in a segment broadcast nationally, now if you're in Canada, maybe you were featured on a CBC radio thing about a show that went on in Winnipeg. That's notable. Having some kind of source referencing that, you could put that in your Wikipedia article. Obviously, this doesn't apply to stuff like Band X is from Regina and has been together 3 years.
That
kind of stuff is all right.
You're not claiming anything by doing that.
They're going to want to see that you've done something to earn an encyclopedia entry. Otherwise, every single band will have, like, you've been together for a day and you have a Wikipedia article. That doesn't make any sense. There are other things that can help you be considered notable. Maybe you worked with a notable artist. You wrote a song with somebody who was big. That could be part of it. Maybe you performed at a major festival. That works. Or maybe you were involved in a controversy or a political movement. Like Pussy Riot, for instance, probably didn't need to do all the controversial things for Wikipedia articles. They were pretty well known by then.
But
that definitely would have. If they were unknown before any other thing that happened, say, around just even the Olympics, that alone would have been enough to get them
the attention. Guaranteed is probably in there.
Yeah, guaranteed. So you want a Wikipedia article. And it will help you get seen because when people search for you, when you see Wikipedia, when I search for a band that maybe applied to us and I've never heard of them, but they have a Wikipedia article, my first thought is, ooh, they've done something. So that's always very helpful, but there is work to be done. It's not easy. And just like the work you'd have to do to reach fans on Google Plus, the work in advance you'd have to do on Pinterest to actually build up boards and have something for people to see. It all applies the same. Like, Twitter is and Facebook are pretty easy ways to reach fans. These take a bit more work, but I have a feeling that they're a bit more worthwhile than places like Facebook and Twitter. Not dissing those. Highly recommend everybody have a Facebook and Twitter, but don't discount all these other sites too.
Exactly.
Even if they take more work to get them up and running.
It's a whole new audience.
A whole new audience.
World.
Got you to close your eyes. We do sing more without India.
We do. A new fantastic point of view. Anyway.
Okay, and that has been Radio Del number 66. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I think we
covered it all.
I think you summed it up beautifully.
Summed up. Sum 41'd it.
Yeah.
And I guess that means that's it. So we're going to sign off.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at @Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.
Is that you singing that song?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just making noises.
Well, he hits such high notes. She drives me crazy. Ooh.